This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's shiur. The shiurim of Tavshin Pei Vav are dedicated by the Israeli family of Great Neck, Leiloi Nishmas, Malka, Bas, Yosef, B'Gan Eden, Tei Menuchasa. Shiurim are also dedicated, as a Zechus Refuah Shleima, for Nasan Ben Menucha, and for all Chayle Yisrael. Sefer Bamidbar is dedicated by our dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yasilovsky, Leiloi Nishmas, Rabbi Isaac's father, Shabsi Ben Yitzchak Isaac. His yard site was Tesvav Sivan. Sefer Bamidbar are generously dedicated by Dr. Zakeim Mishpachta, Leiloi Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer Ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakeim, Rivka Bas Tavia Levi, and Reb David Ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyen. Sefer Bamidbar is also dedicated by Mrs. Yehudit Herman, Leiloi Nishmas, her husband, Rav Shabsi Benish Ben Moshe. Tonight's shiur is dedicated, doesn't say a name, Leiloi Nishmas, Yisrael Doiv HaKoyen Shmukler Alav HaShalom HaMechuna B'Shem Barol, whose yard site is on Chaf Dalet Sivan V'Gan Eden Tehe Menuchasai. Okay, friends, we have a very interesting topic today. We'll see if you can figure out how it's related to the parsha. Make sure you're well equipped in the summer. Berachas HaTzadik. Last week I showed you the Berachas HaTzadik is prominently featured on the table of the Gadol Hadar, Rav Moshe Sternbach. We also mentioned that I put it on his table and took a picture of it. But either way, the reality is it's on his table. If anybody wants to participate, we're working on it for Art Scroll. We're almost finished. Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis. Make sure you're well equipped. Rav Meir Balhanes, pocket size edition. If you want to participate in any upcoming publications, including the Avas Yisrael of the Chavetz Chaim, please let us know. Okay, we have an amazing topic tonight. I'm glad that you chose this arena tonight. This is the main arena. It's interesting how last time the President of the United States, he went to the game, and he apparently got so upset that people are blaming him that they lost. He's now bombing Iran, you know? So everything is hashgacha pratis. Okay, we have a very interesting topic tonight. In Jewish history, the name Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid evokes great reverence. He was one of the lions of the Chassidei Ashkenaz Harishonim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid of Regensburg, one of the greatest of the Balei HaTosfos. However, a few hundred years later, there was another Rabbi Yehuda, but many who are not familiar with Jewish history confuse the two. The other Rabbi Yehuda, in many books, including the one I'm going to read to you from, call him also Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. However, he was not Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He was Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the Balei HaTosfos, wrote Sefer Chassidim. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is the leader of the community and the builder of the Churva Shul in the old city of Yerushalayim. Many people have visited the Churva Shul. We were there on a Matzah Shabbos. Many people have davened there. Most are not familiar with the history and certainly not the backstory of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. This past January, I was in the Kidron Valley and I went up to the top of the mountain, and for the first time I went to the kever of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. I will say, when I was there, the rest of my group couldn't make it up the mountain. I was there just with the guide, and two Calvin da Chatzifin appeared out of nowhere. Two vicious dogs. And the guide had to take out his gun. When I was at the kever of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Who is Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? And is there any commonality between Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? Well, not really. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid came from the city of Shidlitz, or Shidlavutzi, which was a city in Poland, in near Grodna. And this is the year 1690, shortly after the debacle of Shabtai Tzvi. And he was also called Ashkenazi. And he had an ambition to herald the redemption. And he led a very impressive contingency of Ashkenazim, who they were very ascetic. They separated from the pleasures of this world. They afflicted themselves. They rolled in the snow. They immersed in ice mikvahs. When I say cold, I mean ice cold. And when they barely slept. And when they slept, let's go. When they slept, they lay down on the floor, on the hard floor. And they slept for like an hour or two. And they were involved in all kinds of Kabbalistic practices. And this group of about 30 families, as they're traveling throughout the European continent, they're picking up momentum. They built up the group to about 1,000 people and 1,500 people. And since the 300 of the Bali HaToisvis made Aliyah in the 13th century, this was the biggest Aliyah of Jews in Jewish history until modern time. The Aliyah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, even though you look in the history books, and even the history books call him Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that was not the correct name. His name is Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. It's now the spring of 1699, and he sets out with 30 families from this area near Grodna. In many of the books, they will refer to him as a great Talmud Chacham and a charismatic figure. The latter is certainly true. 1699. But, okay, but you could be medayik in the words I said. All the books will describe him as a great Talmud Chacham and a charismatic figure. The latter is definitely true. And he was a very inspiring figure. He was inspired many people to do tshuva, which he did. He gave very impassionate drashos. Now, even the Tver Shlomo of Radomsk brings a story that he heard from the Kashnitzer Magid, who said over from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. You see, in the Tver Shlomo of Radomsk, he says the correct name, not Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid of Shidlovitzi. That one time there was somebody who was possessed by some kind of spirit or demon, and Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was trying to exorcise out the demon, and the demon started speaking to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, saying, "You think you know Shemais? The Shemais you know, I knew since I was a kid, I knew those Shemais." And this demon who possessed the guy said, "You should know that I personally, when the Jewish people killed Zechariah Hanavi in the Beis HaMikdash, I 2,000 years ago, I was among those who killed Zechariah Hanavi, and I've been in turmoil. I don't even have respite in Gehenim." And that's the story that the Radomsker brings. Now, there were Talmidei Chachamim associated with the group of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, including Rav Nasan Nata, and he said, he described it as follows. A huge kahila of uplifted Jews, each God-fearing individual, stood with a luster shining about him. At their head was one full of wisdom, an angel of Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda, with one intention, to go and ascend to Jerusalem, the place of our inheritance. Remember, we mentioned there were 1,500 people. By the time they got there, at least 500 of them had died. Okay? At least one-third of them had died. This is the sanitized version of the story. The great Aliyah of 1,500 Jews, the biggest Aliyah until modern times. However, if you're familiar with the backstory and the history, there was a poisonous issue right among this group. The poison began with somebody by the name of Chaim Mahalach. Chaim Mahalach. Chaim Mahalach was a traveler who would travel to Salonika. And not only would he travel to Salonika, but he was a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. Not only was a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, he was a student of the false prophet who was known as Baruchia Russo. Baruchia Russo was a very handsome man, beautiful man, and that's how he's described. And he was a false prophet. He's the leader of the Turkish clan of followers of Shabtai Tzvi. By the way, even today, in 2026, there's a discipline called Sabbatianism. There's still mystics and philosophers that study the ideology of Shabtai Tzvi, even though he converted to Islam in 1666. In any event, this Chaya Malach was like a weed of poison in the group, and he greatly affected Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Now, after he studied in Salonika and in Turkey, he inculcated all of this Sabbatian ideology and he brought it back to the group of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And his ideology was, in 1666, Shabtai Tzvi converted to Islam, and just like Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 years, he was hiding out in Midian, and then he revealed himself after 40 years to redeem the Jewish people, and after he redeemed the Jewish people, 40 years later, he took us to the brink of Eretz Yisrael. So too, 40 years after Shabtai Tzvi, Shabtai Tzvi will return and again redeem the Jewish people. This was the ideology of Chaim Malach. In fact, if you look in the Chidah Sefer, Shem HaGdoilam, okay, tonight's share is a little bit off the beaten path. If you look in the Shem HaGdoilam of the Chidah, in the back, there is a little compendium called She'iris Tzion of Rav Menachem Mendel Kringel. And there he brings certain information about certain Svarim that was left out of the Shem HaGdoilam. And in his entry for Leket Shmuel, he says he doesn't understand why the Sefer Leket Shmuel was not put into Cherem. Why was it not issued that it should be burnt? Because the Leket Shmuel records this kind of ideology that 40 years after Shabtai Tzvi, he's going to make a comeback. By the way, without getting into too much detail, that philosophy has not died down ad hayom. That there's a concept, you know, something happens, and then 40 years later, something else is going to happen. Okay, it's still prevalent. Adayin merakeid banu. In any event, this was the ideology of Chaim Malach. He was called Malach originally because he was a traveler, and then his followers called him Chaim Malach, Chaim the angel, but he was considered an insidious follower and poison among the groups of Shabtai Tzvi. Now, friends, who was the greatest Rosh Hashiva of the time, in the times of Yehuda Chassid and Chaim Malach? Rav Avram Broida. And he was the Rosh Hashiva in the time. He's the Abbezin of Prague. He's the Abbezin of Frankfurt. And he calls his two best Talmidim. Their names were Rav Yoina Landsofer and Rav Moshe Chassid. He says, I need you to debate Chaim Malach. I need you to refute him because he is disseminating his Sabbatian wisdom. And I need you to somehow dispute him and refute him. So they went to Chaim Malach. And Chaim Malach, who Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Mitpachas Svarim appendages the following three letters to his name, Shin Resh Yud, which stands for Shem Rishayim Yerkov. Malach offers all of his Kabbalistic proofs to his ideology, and these two Talmidim, they have nothing to say. They don't know what to respond. They weren't so familiar with the original text. They weren't familiar with his arguments. They come back to the Rebbe, Rabbi Avram Broida, and he was upset that they didn't have an answer for Chaim Malach. So he told them, listen, I need you to take off time from the shir. I need you to take off time from your limudim. You need to study this Kabbalistic information, and you need to go back and refute Chaim Malach. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that the Rosh Hashiva himself didn't do it because he was completely unfamiliar with any Kabbalistic wisdom. Rabbi Avram Broida, the Rosh Hashiva and Gadol Adar at the time, all he studied was Gefes. You know the expression Gefes? Gemara, Perush Rashi, Tosfos. Sometimes people say, no, what does this person know? All he knows is Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything more. So Rabbi Avraham Broida gave special dispensation to his Talmidim to study this information, and they were able to recognize that all of his ideology was false, and they provided some kind of refutation. Rav Yaakov Emden, in his Sefer, a very amazing Sefer called Toiras HaKna'os, which is a historical account of all of his attacks on anyone suspected of Sabbateanism, which, by the way, included many, many people, many great rabbis, many great rabbanim that you're familiar with. Rabbi Yaakov Emden did not hold back any possible suspicion he had if somebody believed that Shabtai Tzvi was Mashiach, and there were many strands of it. People who originally believed in him, people who believed that even after he converted, but there were certain seeds of positivity in him. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if you had a smattering of any acceptability of Shabtai Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Emden called you out, and or he would record how his father, the Chacham Tzvi, called you out. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden recorded all of this in the Sefer Toiras HaKna'os, where he records this whole narrative. Again, yes, this is Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the builder of the shul that many of you probably have frequented in the old city of Yerushalayim. So, there is a Sefer. I think this is one of an amazing Sfarim. It's called Meshichei Sheker U'Misnagdehem, which usually we have a series of shurim from the Sefer this time of the year as we approach Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. For many years already, we pointed out that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is a fast day for the Chet HaEgel, and the Chet HaEgel is the origins of the Meshichei Sheker. So this Sefer has a very different perspective on the narrative and the backstory of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and Chaya Malach. He writes that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that Chaya Malach found a receptive audience in Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He brings a historical record that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid himself, on one Shabbos Kodesh, made an announcement that he's going to give a drasha, and he declared openly that Shabtai Tzvi is Mashiach. Not only that, when the rabbi reprimanded him, he said he will not be paying any attention to what this rabbi says. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, even though, by the way, Rabbi Yaakov Emden never decisively called Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, a believer in Shabtai Tzvi, he was not sure. He didn't know. But he definitely called out this Chaya Malach, who is one of the prominent members of that original group. And, you know, there's an expression, if you want to get an insight into somebody, who somebody is, you know, you're trying to find out, say you're looking into Shaduchim, you want to know, who is this guy? Who is this girl? And you can't get information. All you need to know is, who are they friends with? Who's their friend? Who do they sit next to in shul? You know, they sit next to him, you know exactly who the guy is. This is the person they usually hang out with, you know everything about the person. So this Yehuda Chassid allowed and did not accept the reports on Chaya Malach. And this was considered a very indicting detail. In fact, as recorded in the Sefer, the two of them, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and Chaya Malach, who had spent many shalashudas for many, many hours until Chatzos Laila, speaking about that individual, that the Shabtai Tzvi. Now, people didn't really know who these people were. The Rabbanim in Europe, they had very strong suspicions against Chaya Malach. They didn't know information about Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He was a very genuine, passionate speaker. When he would speak, he was Yoyre Demois, and he was Ma'oyre many people to do tshuva. So the Rabbanim sent word to the expert of the time, and that was none other than the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was the world's leading, you know, he had the sense of smell. He could smell you out, whether you're a secret follower of Shabtai Tzvi. He could just tell. He could tell by the way you daven, the way you learned that he was a follower. Now, you should know, the original Chabur Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, these were very pious individuals. In the classic Sefer of Musar, Kava Yashar, Reb Shmuel Kadenaber, he brings a few stories of that he heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So for example, in Perek Ches, he brings the following story. I always like to say, when I was a boy, remember I would go with my grandfather to shul, to Rav Hillel David Shul, and you know, you come to the beginning of the shul, you take out a chumash, take out a siddur. So as a yeshiva bach, I would always go to get a sefer. My grandfather, what are you doing with the sefer? What are you planning on doing with the sefer? I said, you know, I'm going to learn. When exactly do you plan on learning? We're here at a daven. So, okay, maybe Bein Gavra. In other words, the only time you can really learn is Bein Gavra la Gavra. But some people make it like a career. That they all, during davening, they polish, they go through blat, they go through sugyas, they make siyumim. So the Kava Yashar writes that even somebody who has a great desire, people always ask me, you know, sometimes people come over to me, he's like, why are you calling people out that learn by Chazar Sashas? Aren't there worse things people could be doing? So I said, I don't know. This is one of the things that I feel very strongly about. But I remember once I was invited to a siyum of a guy during the 9 days, and I knew he only learned the Masechta during Chazar Sashatz. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, you're not even mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Anyway, so the Kava Yashar says like this. He heard from Rabbi Yishaya Chassid, who heard from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that the Ramban had a Talmud who was so engrossed in learning, he didn't even sleep. And when he ate, with the sefer in front of his eyes. And he couldn't even daven. He was not able to daven because of his Avas HaTorah. And the Ramban told him, you need to eat when it's time to eat. Stop learning while you're eating. And when it's time to sleep, you need to sleep. And when it's time to daven, you daven. And the Zechus HaTorah will protect you that nothing bad will happen. The Talmud didn't listen. And the Talmud continued to learn during his eating, during his sleeping, and during his davening. Shortly after, the Talmud had to go to the store to buy something. He got back to his house, and a marauder was in his house, violating his daughter on the table that he always learned. And the Ramban came, and the Ramban said, told you so, you were so into learning, you forgot to say, Shetatzileni ayoyme odom ra upegara. You didn't listen to me. So this is what happened to your daughter. That's a story brought in the Kava Yashar in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Kava Yashar brings another story. He says, sometimes you have people, they go, they take a job, overseas, and they're working there for weeks, and it, on the way back, somebody comes and takes all their money. Those marauders who took your money were created. They're not even real people. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said they're created from the sins that you did during the course of your travels. Anyway, these are stories that are related in the Kava Yashar from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid.
Rabbi, how can we 100% attribute the fact that the person lost the money to the person's sins? Like, I understand that Hashem rules everything, so that doesn't necessarily mean it's because of the sins of the...
That's what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said. He said, again, this is Rabbi Yehuda Chassid considered himself a great Kabbalist, and this was the teaching that he gave. Now, the Rabbanim in Europe did not know how to evaluate this Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and they sent word to the Chacham Tzvi. Specifically, the rabbi of Krakow, Rav Shol ben Rav Heschel. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't put his finger on it. You know, what is this guy all about? So he asked the Chacham Tzvi, who is an expert in the Shabtois, could you tell us, could you express your opinion? What do you say about Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? And the Chacham Tzvi said, the first thing you need to know is Sabbateanism is idolatry. It's Avodah Zarah. And then the Chacham Tzvi, so to speak, rips off the mask of these two individuals. And Chacham Tzvi says, my advice is you need to use all of your influence to counteract all of their interests. And Rav Shaul, the rabbi of Krakow, followed the advice of the Chacham Tzvi. He fought with them. He argued with them. So did Rav Pinchas Moshe Charif. And meanwhile, this group of which started off as 30 families, they made their way through Europe. They amassed 1,000 people, 1,500 people. And they had a plan. They're going to go straight to the Chacham Tzvi himself. And the plan was they're going to smooth talk him, they're going to compliment him, and they're going to say what a great lamdan he is, what a great poisik he is, and he's mistaken about who they are, that their kavana was l'shem shamayim. Now, the Chacham Tzvi, he said he didn't fall for their plan. He immediately called out Chaim Malach to be a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. He did not say Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was, but he did criticize him. And he criticized his level of scholarship. The words he said, I don't want to say. He applied the Mishnah in Avos, Parak Beis, Mishnah Vav, where it says, in order to be a chassid, you have to be a Talmud Chacham. Loi blank chassid. That's what he said about Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Okay? I'll let you fill in the blank. That's what the Chacham Tzvi said about Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Anyway, they continued their very ascetic practices. They definitely, their dress became different than mainstream Jewish dress. Many of their followers wore white burial shrouds, and the whole presentation of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was very regal. He wore white silk. He was very handsome. He had a very beautiful appearance. And many, many people began to follow him. Now they're in Frankfurt. And they come to Frankfurt and they meet the rabbi of Frankfurt and they want to get his opinion. What will be their fate? And the rabbi of Frankfurt at the time was Rabbi Yosef Shmuel. Rabbi Yosef Shmuel was the you know, we have on the side of the Gemara something called Mesoras Hashas. Mesoras Hashas is annotations, notes on the side of the Gemara that tells you whenever a Gemara appears, where else in Shas does that Gemara appear? It's notes to help cross-reference various Gemaras. And they went to Rabbi Yosef Shmuel, and they asked him, you know, what do you think about our plan to make Aliyah again? This was the single most impressive act of Aliyah until the modern age. Never in history had so many Jews from the time of Ezra returned to Eretz Yisrael. And he, the rabbi of Frankfurt, he wasn't comfortable with them. He told them, don't go. Stay here, serve Hashem in Europe. Don't go to Yerushalayim. You're not going to be successful. And then he said, let's see if now you can figure out the connection to this week's parsha. Vayomer Moshe, lama ze'atem oivrim es pi Hashem, v'hi loy sitzlach. You're not going to be successful. You know, in the aftermath of the Chid HaMeraglim, you have the episode of the Mapilim. Remember that little story tucked away in Parsha Shlach, where when the Jews heard that they're going to die out in the Midbar, they said, no, we love Eretz Yisrael. The fruit is so good. The people are so inviting. You know, all of a sudden, they wanted this Eretz. You know, a moment before, the people were giants and everyone's dying and the fruits were inedible. And when they heard they're not going to be able to go in, so some Jews decided to go in prematurely. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? No, v'hi loy sitzlach. And the Baal Masoras HaShas told this Chabura, These words that appear in this week's parasha, bad idea, don't go. Now, that's a pretty rough thing to say. You have 1,500 Jews who, for the first time in history, they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, they want to go to Yerushalayim, they want to build a Beis HaKnesses in the old city. And he said, don't go, you won't be successful. And they didn't listen to him. And the upshot was, it does not seem that they were successful. And we'll see Be'ezus Hashem, part two of this, next time. But this is the story of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who came from this area near Grodno with one of the most impressive groups of Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael until modern times. And because for the most part of this Chaim Malach, who was a follower of Sabbateanism, it spoiled the pot, and they did not seem to have the blessing of the Chachmei Yisrael, and ultimately it was not a successful mission. Okay, we'll see more of the story in the weeks ahead. That's tonight's shiur. Have a good night, everyone. Shkoyach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Kol tov.
Recording stopped.
Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.